back to discuss the subject of reaching your potential. Now, I don't know how much time we're meant to, how much time do we have here? Months to discuss, or maybe years. So maybe we're just going to start, maybe the first step that we need to understand in this great and enormous avoda of reaching our potential. If we look through Tanakh, we find very often an interesting phenomenon. There are great figures in our history who were clearly destined for greatness, yet they turned out otherwise, not just otherwise, but the exact opposite, and they are remembered l'netzach netzachim for all eternity in shame and disgrace. Let's take, for example, a person called Korach, who we just read about in the Kriya a few weeks ago. Now, Korach was the one who stood to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu. To challenge Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't be a simple person, because people won't listen to you. You have to be somebody of such stature that when you challenge Moshe Rabbeinu, people hear what you say. Korach had such inner greatness that the Ari HaKadosh says that La'osid Lavoi, when Mashiach will come, Korach will actually be the Kohen Gadol, and this is hinted to in the words of the Pasuk, Tzadik Katomor Yifroch, and the Sefer Tevis, the end letters, are Kuf Reish Chof, which spell out the name of Korach. Korach was supported by Reish Nun Roshe Sanhedrin, 250 heads of Sanhedrin. You should try to understand what that means. The Pasuk says they were Kriya Moyed Anshei Shem. And the Chazal tell us, Kriya Moyed, they were renowned throughout Kol HaOilom Kuloi. They were famous people, their names were known in all of the world. Now, this wasn't an age of communications, it was before the days of email or any type of electronic communication. To become world famous in those days means you had to be an enormous personality. Anshei Shem, says the Zohar HaKadosh, Kulam Balei Shem HaMefoirosh. They were all masters of the Shem HaMefoirosh. We know how we can count on the hands of the fingers of maybe two hands, how many people in our history were crowned with the name, with the title Baal Shem. We know the Baal Shem Tov, the Adam Baal Shem, the Elio Baal Shem, the Baal Shem Michelstadt. To be given the name Baal Shem meant somebody of extraordinary greatness. And the Zohar HaKadosh says there were 250 Baalei Shem. And these people gathered around Korach in support of Korach. They understood his message, and they were prepared to risk everything, to bet on this man, to stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu. That gives us a concept of who he was, of what greatness he could have attained, and what he was destined for. And yet we see that this great genius, this great Chacham, this great Tzaddik, he slipped, and he is remembered for all time as the great Baal Machloikis of Klal Yisrael. And when Chazal want to warn us against the dangers of Machloikis, and there's a lot to be in a Machloikis, not just, you know, like there's a lot to eat Nevelus or Trefus, there's a lot of Leyeh Kikorech V'Chadosar, and every single Machloikis since then, and we know what Machloikis has done to Klal Yisrael, that's why we're in the 3 weeks today, because of the Aveir of Sinas Chinom. This is the result of the various machloikis throughout our history. At the root of every machloikis stands the spark of Korach, and he is remembered forever as a Rosh HaMerusha, a man who could have achieved such greatness, and yet he had such a fall, he descended to the depths, to the lowest level of evil. We find such people throughout Tanakh, throughout Chazal. There was a person in Nach, we all heard of, Yerovam ben Nevot. Yerovam ben Nevot, Chazal tell us, there was a great tzaddik, Achia HaShiloimi, who was the Goin and Godel Hador. There was no one in his generation was his equal. The Rambam, when he brings in the Hakdama, the Seder of the Mesoiris HaTorah, of giving over the tradition of Torah, Achia HaShiloini is one of the few Moisrei HaTeiru who gave over the Torah to all generations. There was one person who was equal to him in learning and in greatness, Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat's potential and his greatness must have been so great, because we find that even after he caused all of Klal Yisrael to sin, to actually repeat the Chet HaEgel, he said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, and he caused them to worship idols, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to him and he grabbed him, he said, Chazor Becha, do tshuva, and if you come back to me, Ani Ve'ato Uben Yishai Mitayel Yachad Began Eden, you, I, and David HaMelech will walk together in Gan Eden. That means he had such great tzchusim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to grant him a reprieve, to accept his tshuva after all that he had done. And we know that all chatoim don't compare to the chet, to the sin of causing a rabim, to causing multitudes to sin. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to take him to the highest level of Gan Eden and share a place with David HaMelech. And we know, as Chazal tell us, when he heard of this irresistible offer, he answered, Mi Barosh, who's going to be going in front? Will it be me or David HaMelech? And Hashem said, David will stand before you. And he said, I don't want. And Yerovam ben Nevat, whenever, nearly every time his name is mentioned in Tanakh, there's an addition to his name. Yerovam ben Nevat, Asher Chota Vehechti Es Yisrael. Whenever we mention his name, we say he was the person who sinned and caused others to sin. Not only that, we know throughout our history we had such meisisim umeidichim, people who caused the rabbim to go astray, people who caused others to sin. And the Gemara Masechta Brachos calls any person who causes somebody else to do an aveira, chaver hu liYerovam ben Nevat. This is how Yerovam ben Nevat, who was on the level of Achia Hashiloini, this is how he is remembered for all time. Take for example, 2 weeks ago, we learned about Bilam. The Gemara tells us, we know one of the animamans is that there never arose a prophet as great as Moshe, and there never will be. Loikom ki Moshe. What Chazal tell us, the Yisrael loikom ki Moshe. There was never a prophet on the level of Moshe between Jews. But the Umay Sa'olam, amongst the nations of the world, there was a prophet on the level of Moshe. And that was Bilam. Bilam, who was Yodea Das Elyon, a person who understood the deepest secrets of creation and reached a level of prophecy equal to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet Bilam Harosha chose a different path, and he was Machshil. He caused Klal Yisrael to sin with the Benois Moav. And until this day, we're still suffering from the tumma and the impurity that Bilam HaRosha brought into the world. And Chazal tell us, as we read in this week's Parsha Nikoim, thank you, we're meant to be taking revenge from Midian for what they caused, the loss of Kiddush, the loss of sanctity in Klal Yisrael, that this battle will continue until the days of Mashiach. We still haven't recovered from the blow of Atzas Bilam, and the Navi tells us we have to remember Zecharno, the eights of Balak and Bilam, what they wanted to do to Klal Yisrael. So we see here a man of such towering greatness, and yet his end was the lowest level a human being could descend to. As Chazal tell us, some of the disgusting averos that Bilam HaRosha was Isaac in, Rachmana Litzlan, a man who was renowned for his holiness, reached the level that he was Baal HaSoinai, he had relations with his animal. This was the depth of depravity to which he descended. At the same time, we find in Tanakh and Chazal, we find the opposite. We all know the story, take for example, of Rabbi Akiva. We all remember learning about a man who at the age of 40 sat himself down in a kindergarten with little children to learn the Aleph Beis. and he struggled and he struggled until he became the greatest Tana, Halachik Rabbi Akiva Mechaveirov, the great leader of Klal Yisrael Rabbi Akiva. Chazal tell us what Rabbi Akiva's life looked like until he was 40 years old. He had such a hatred for Torah, such a sinner for Talmidei Chachamim, that he said, if I will see a Talmud Chacham, anashchenu kachamor, I'll bite him like a donkey. And the Svarim explained that a donkey doesn't bite like a dog who bites and leaves go. Donkey bites, he climbs down and shakes his victim back and forth until he destroys him. That's how Rabbi Akiva spoke with such a viciousness, what he would do to a Talmud Chacham if he could just get his hands or sink his teeth into him. This was Rabbi Akiva's Sinas HaTorah before he saw the light of Torah. And yet we know Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. All of Torah Shabal Peh that we have, the root of it is Rabbi Akiva. And Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu listened in, he eavesdropped once on a shir of Rabbi Akiva, and he turned and he said, I can't even follow the shir of Rabbi Akiva, so deep are his words. Rabbi Akiva was Yotza Nishmasai Be'echod, as the Romans were tearing at his flesh with combs of iron. He cried out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, and gave courage and vision to all Mekadshei Hashem, for all who will sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name for thousands of years after him. All of those of our ancestors took their courage and their strength and their chizik for Rabbi Akiva, as a baskel called out, Ashrecho Rabbi Akiva, Gufcho Toher B'chol Minei Tohoro. You've reached the highest level of purity and sanctity. This was Rabbi Akiva, who said, if I can bite into a Talmud Chochem, I'd bite into him like a chamor. There's an amoira, Mar Ukva. You've all heard of Mar Ukva. If you learn Gemara, you meet Mar Ukva all the time. The Gemara tells us, once Rav Yehuda was sitting before Shmuel, and a woman came in, she wanted a hearing, a din Torah. And at that time, Shmuel said he doesn't have time, he didn't want to listen to what she had to say. And Rav Yehuda asked, why don't you listen to her? And he said, I'm just Reshach, I'm just the head. There's a Resha the Reshach, there's the head of the head, the greatest leader of the generation is Mar Ukva. He should be the one to listen to what she has to say. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Ksubos, famous story, how Mar Ukva used to support a poor man. He would throw money behind the door and the poor man shouldn't see who his hidden benefactor was. And one day the poor man decided he wanted to know who's supplying him with this money, and he chased after him, and Mar Ukva ran, and Mar Ukva and his wife jumped into an oven to hide so that the oni shouldn't come to an embarrassment. And from here we learn, mutav, it's better a person should allow himself to fall into a burning oven rather than to cause another person shame. This was Mar Ukva. Do you know a little bit about Mar Ukva's history? There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin tells us about a person whose name was Nosson Tzutziso. Nosson Tzutziso had a desire to sin with a particular Eshes Ish, with a married woman. And he was so overtaken by his desire to sin that he fell ill and he was near death. And there came a certain opportunity when he could have achieved the goal that he had set for himself. This Eishes Ish needed a certain halva, she needed a loan, and this person was a very wealthy man. And he overcame his evil inclination. And from then, there shined a light, came out of his face, shined such a light, because he had controlled his Yetzirah, that he was called Nosson Tzutziso, meaning like a shining light. And Rashi tells us Nosson Tzutziso was later Mar Ukva. Try to imagine what it means. Imagine the bizyonos, the humiliation, the shame and disgrace. Where's this Nosson? Why didn't he come to Shul today? So you didn't hear? He's dying. really, why is he dying? Is somebody has an illness? No, he's dying because he wants to commit a horrific sin, and he can't. Guess what? He became sick. He's near death. And people say, oh, what a scandal. What a horrible thing. How embarrassed his children, his family must have been. Can you imagine a person descending to such a low level? And yet from this person is a person whose Torah shines for all generations. We live with every word he says, and he is who Shmuel calls Reisha Dereisha. He is the head of the head. So we see that people who are destined apparently for greatness can fall and lose everything that they were destined for. And we see that people who it seems that their future is very bleak, and they achieve such greatness that they're remembered for all eternity as leaders of our people. And we need to understand this, and we need to study this well, because this teaches us a lot about ourselves. There's a Shmuz of Yeruchim, who was a Mashgiach in Mir in Europe, Yeruchim Levovitz. And he says there are two parts to a person. There's a part called Bekoyach, and there's a part Bepoyel. Bekoyach is what we would call potential, and Bepoyel is what we call actualization. The taking the potential and turning it into a real, true, concrete force that one can see. We believe, we mistakenly believe, that the world of potential and the world of Bepoyel are equal worlds. But the truth is that the difference between them is so vast, it's so enormous. You cannot compare the world of Bekoyach to the world of Bepoyel. He gives a simple example. Take a match. Now what's a match? A match is a stick with a little bit of dipped into some sulfur. You strike it on a striker and it creates a flame. That flame, you can light a piece of wood with it. You can ignite an entire house. You can burn down a house with one little match. Not only with one little match, you can burn down an entire city with one little match. You can destroy the entire country, coast to coast, with a fire that's in that little tip of a match. And you could actually destroy the whole world with one little match. Where is all that energy? Where is it all? It's in the little tip of that match. All that energy, all that potential, all that bekoyach is packed into that little match. Take a seed of an apple that we flick out into the garbage. Now imagine, you know, how much energy, how much potential is there in this little seed? You were to take this seed and plant it into the ground. We would give it enough time to develop, let's say the span of a human being is 70 years, 80 years. If we were to take one little seed that we can hold between our two fingers and we were to plant it, each seed could produce a tree that has many apples, and the many apples each have many seeds. If you were to take each one of those seeds and replant it and replant it again, over the course of 70 years, you would have enough apples to feed every single human being on the planet, all 5 billion people, to give him meals of apples and apples for many, many years. You could feed the entire planet with the bekoyach, with the potential that there is in one seed of an apple. Looks are very deceiving. Things appear to be very small, yet their potential is vastly greater than what we see before our eyes. Now, say I was in somebody's car, and there's navigators, these new things, but you know, you just plug in a number, and it starts talking to you like Bilam's donkey, you know, turn your light, go left. You're not used to it, you get a shock. And then I'm looking at this thing, this is so amazing. Right, it says you're 15 feet away from your house, you're 10 feet away from your house, and how does this little machine know exactly where I am? the little machine is being followed, being traced by a satellite thousands of miles up in the sky that's beaming in, zeroing in on my car and following my progress and knowing exactly where I'm going, and it's crunching numbers at billions of calculations per second, knows how many feet or even inches I am away from my destination. At the same time, on the same system, there's another 100 million cars at the very same second that this machine is guiding and telling where to go, and they don't get mixed up. It doesn't tell me the instructions somebody else's out. It keeps it all in such an extraordinary, phenomenal order and seder. Unbelievable. It boggles the mind. I mean, you know, this is one of the small things that a computer can do. You know, speak to the guys in NASA, they'll tell you what a computer can do. This is just for us laymen, who we become misspoiled, and we see a small thing. Now, such mental ability, such an intellect, the world hasn't seen. There's no human being in the world who has a brain that could process information and can store at that speed, at that level. We can't imagine such a thing. Yet who created that computer? Human beings. Human beings with their own brains, with their own seichel, and some of them are young people in their early 20s who develop these programs, and they've created something much, much greater than themselves. But where did it come from? Nothing can come yesh me'ayin. This all has to come because there is such potential already within the human intellect, and this has always been around. This is not, you know, there's nothing new with the computer. Every element that's there has been around since Adam Marishan. It just hasn't been uncovered. A discovery is not something new. The word discover just means discovered. It was covered. Now we uncover it. We're revealing and understanding more and more of what there already is in the Bria. So when we look at the world, we even look at inanimate objects. What's a computer? What is it? It's a stone. It's a wire. It's a diamond. And we don't believe what's always been inside there. We don't believe, we can't imagine how much potential there is. There's nothing as humble and as small as an atom. We've never seen an atom. In the tip of an end of a needle, there are more atoms than there are human beings in the world. And yet we know, and if you take an atom and you play around with it the proper way, you can cause a chain reaction that has enough energy to destroy the world many, many times over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Bria that has endless potential, enormous energy. The world of the Koyach is a world of Ein Sof, of infinite ability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the Oisiyos, with the letters of the Torah. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim is Aleph until Tav. Everything we see in existence is a different arrangement of the letters of the Torah and parts of the letters, and how much power lies in every single letter. Chazal tell us every letter in the Torah has the force of life that could bring Tchias HaMeisin, has endless power. The Neisoschit give us an example, something it's similar to the idea of a chain reaction of an atom, which of course is also the Shoyosh, its root is in the Oisiyos HaTorah. We know that every word has a gematria, has a numerical value, right? Take the word Adam, right? So Aleph, Dalet is 5, and Mem is 45. Now, we haven't even begun to understand the gematria, because the letter Aleph itself is written Aleph Lamed Fei. So if you take that and take that gematria, now the Aleph, Lamed, and Fei of each one is again, is Lamed, Mem, Dalet, and Pei, and then the Pei is again Pei, and hey, it never ends, it's infinite. And all these forces, all this energy, the ability to create, is all already included in the Oisiyos HaTorah. And Adam, who was the crowning glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yetzira in the world, is infused with energy, is overflowing with potential that's vastly greater. And Rabbi Yeruchim calls that world of the Koyach, that is the world of Tzelem Elohim, The Pasuk tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in His image. What does it mean in His image? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner explains, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to create worlds and to destroy worlds, Adam, who has Bechira, who has free will, has the same ability to create worlds, millions of worlds, or to destroy millions of worlds with his actions. We don't understand what happens when we learn a word of Torah, or when we do a chesed, or when we conquer an evil inclination, when we control our anger, or when we speak nicely to another person rather than we speak down to him, when we control ourselves. We are creating millions of worlds far, far greater than ourselves, but the potential to create those worlds, that ability, that Tzelem Elohim, that is who we really are. That is the essence of the creation of Adam. Some of us take that potential and we channel it l'toiv. We take all that bekoyach and we pour it into the world of goodness. Others, like Bilam, like Korach, like Yerovam ben Nevat, took all of that massive potential and they channeled it, they directed it into the world of evil, and they created the type of evil that transcended them, transcended generations, became written in the Torah as a symbol of evil. They created so much tumah that to this very day, if you're involved in a machlokes, you're a continuation of the evil work of Korach so many thousands of years ago. How a person can take his, thank you, can take his potential and harness it into a way that could produce so much evil or so much good. But Yeruchim says, the Medrash says, the parasha of Tamar and the parasha of Eshes Potiphar are next to each other in the Torah. Says the Medrash, this is to teach us that both of them could have produced Mashiach. We know that Tamar is the mother of Mashiach, of the Tikkun HaShalem, of the ultimate redemption. Eshes Potiphar had the same destiny. She would have been able to be the mother of Mashiach, the mother of the saving of the world. Yet Tamar took her potential to redeem the world and channeled it for goodness, and Eshes Potiphar took it and channeled it into Ra, into Tumah, into impurity, into evil. What is our potential? What is our potential? If I were to ask you, could you learn Shas Bal Peh? Could you know? Anybody here who feels he can know Shas Bal Peh? Shas Bal Peh, when I was in the going, did I get trouble? Did I know Shas Bal Peh? Let's say we were to open a kollel where we were to pay $100,000 per block Bal Peh. No? Would we manage? Okay, well, let's imagine $1 million per block. You know, you memorize a block, you mow it, and you get $1 million. I think many of us could become very great Talmidei Chachamim if we had the right motivation. Imagine I would go to a cow and make him the same offer. I offer you $50 billion per block, and I give you 100 billion years to learn it. Nothing in the world the cow could do to learn one line of Gemara, because he doesn't have that potential. But a human being who has the potential for greatness, who has the koyach of Tzelem Elohim, he has it in him. It's all there. We have the koyach much greater than we see before our eyes. You know what it's like? Imagine somebody goes over to a person and says, here, you know what, here's $1 billion, buy whatever you like with it, just give me back the change. And the fellow goes, well, we would imagine I would buy, you know, a couple of skyscrapers and a few cities on the side and give him back a nickel change. As I take the $1 billion, and go into a grocery store and buy an ISIS for 75 cents and give the fellow back the change. That's what some of us do with life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us so much b'koyach. And we say, I take it, I buy a little bit of ISIS, I do a few small things. So the Baruch Hu, keep the change. I don't need so much energy. What do I need it for? What am I going to do it for? Give it to somebody who's interested in it, somebody who needs it. That's how some of us make the tragic mistake of telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, keep the change. There was an empire of Rome. The Roman Empire, we're still suffering these days. We're still mourning the destruction that they brought upon us. Imagine, if you read a little bit of the history of the Roman Empire, how they lived in Rome. The wealthy people, the aristocracy in Rome, I think they were called the patricians. If you read, even in Chazal tell us some of their lifestyle, they were very, very magushim. They were very steeped in physicality, in tivus. They used to have these long, drawn-out feasts where they would recline on couches and they would eat and drink until they were so gorged, and then they would disgorge. They would cause themselves to vomit, but they could eat more, and they would spend days in drunken stupor, and together with all the immorality that went along with such a feast, this was the picture of the life of the wealthy in Rome. When they wanted entertainment, they had a very grisly form of sadistic entertainment. They would gather together in a stadium called the Colosseum, which still exists, you can still see to it in Rome, and there they would have the pleasure of the afternoon of watching some poor wretched soul being thrown to the lions, and they would cheer as they would watch the lion tearing him apart. Or sometimes with another form of entertainment, it was called the gladiator. They'd have these big strong brutes, these expert fighters, and they would take some poor weak man, and he would have to battle, he would have to fight with the gladiator, and of course the gladiator beat him to a pulp, and then when he had his hands around his neck deciding whether he should murder him or not, he would look up to the crowd and he would go like this, or like this. That's where everything comes from. You know, today they go like this, that's where it comes from. But they would mean, should I let him live or should I dispose of him? And depending on the mood of the crowd, if they were in the mood of witnessing a murder that day, they would all go like this. And if sometime they had seen too many for that day, they were late, they would say like this, let him live. And if the crowd went like this, he would snap his neck, and everybody was entertained for a day. This is how these people lived. This was the meaning of their lives. And this is how they entertained themselves. Now there was a young boy who grew up in such a home. He was the nephew of the Roman Caesar. His name was Uncalus. And he was raised on this type of decadence. He grew up witnessing this disgusting lifestyle. And yet we know that Uncalus later became Uncalus Hager, who wrote the Targum Uncalus. Now let's try to understand what this means. There was an Amoira by the name of Rav Ami, a holy Amoira. Rav Ami writes a halacha, Chayiv Adam, a person is Mechuyiv, when it comes time on Erev Shabbos, to learn Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Targum. You have to learn the Parsha twice, the Psukim, and once the Targum Uncalus. Now imagine the Heilige Amoira, the holy Amoira Rav Ami, on an Erev Shabbos. He's just been to the mikveh, and he's all aflame, and he takes out a Sefer Torah, and he begins to learn the parasha of the week. Now imagine what this looked like. You know, there was a dayan in London, his name was Rav Grosnas. Rav Grosnas was a Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber, the Birka Shmuel, Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. Rav Grosnas told over a story, there was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, whose name was Rav Sholem Me'ayishishok. Was a very close disciple of the Chofetz Chaim. And when he used to come visit Rav Baruch Ber would bring him into his room and sit there and ask him, tell me about the Chofetz Chaim, tell me stories, and he would begin to talk, and Rav Baruch Ber would sit there enraptured listening to the words of Rav Sholem Eisheshach describing the Kedusha of the Chofetz Chaim. So Rav Grosnas told over that he himself once hid himself under the couch in the room of Reb Baruch Beh when Reb Shalom Aishishak came to visit, and he wanted to hear what they were talking about. And Reb Shalom Aishishak told over to Reb Baruch Beh, and Reb Grossman was listening to the story, that Chofetz Chaim once told his students about his Rebbe. The Chofetz Chaim was a disciple of Reb Nochum Ke Meholodne. Reb Nochum Ke was the shamish in the shul of the city of Harodna, which was the city where lived the Yisoid V'Shayosh HaAvoida. And he was a tzaddik nizgav, a kedosh elyoin. He was one of the tzaddikim nistoyim, but the Chofetz Chaim attached himself to him as a young boy. The Chofetz Chaim was 16 years old, and he knew that every night Reb Nochum Ke Meholodne would seclude himself in the Beis Medrash. He would lock the doors, and he would learn privately by himself. And the Chofetz Chaim, as a young boy, was very curious to know what he was doing. So one night after Maivari was leaving, he hid himself under one of the benches in the Ezra's Noshim, and then they locked up the shul. And when Reb Shlomo came to midnight, he hears the keys in the lock, and Reb Nochum Ke walks over to the bima, and the Chofetz Chaim is hiding, and he takes out some manuscript from under the bima, must have been a Sefer Kabbalah, and he begins to learn. And as he's learning, suddenly he becomes surrounded by a ring of fire. And the fire was so frightening, the Chofetz Chaim cried out, and he collapsed. And Reb Nochum Ke fished him out from under the bench and said, "I told you you shouldn't come here." And the Chofetz Chaim told over the story himself. And Reb Baruch Beh said that when Reb Nochum Ke learned a ring of fire surrounded him, that's not news to me. That's a devil portion. That the Chofetz Chaim at age 16 was able to see that fire, that's a wonder to me. Now, if we could imagine, if Reb Nochum Ke Meholodne, who lived 100 years ago, would learn it would be a ring of fire, imagine when Reb Ami sat down to be Mavar Sedra, what it must have looked like. You know, if the Goyin, the Chaim Elozhin writes about his Rebbe, about the Vilna Goyin, that he had Giluyim, angels from heaven came to learn with him Torah. The Talmidim of the Gro write, we can read it to this day, Omar Rabbeinu B'Shem Eliyahu HaNavi. Our Rebbe told us, Eliyahu HaNavi told him this, and he told him that, and Yankov Avinu told me this, and told me that. We're talking about the Vilna Goyin who called Roz Loi Honestly, all the secrets of the world were revealed to him, and Kol HaTorah Kula was Oruch Lefanov, and yet, somebody once asked Reb Chaim Volozhiner, if the Goyin was so great, that means he must have been as great as an Amora. And he said, what? If the Rebbe would live for 2,000 years, he wouldn't reach the ankles of an Amora. So we're talking about Rav Ami, we're talking about millions of Vilna Goyin. The Heiliger Rav Ami. Places in the Sechta Chagig already brings him. The Tanoim sat and learned the house was filled with a fire that threatened to destroy the home. So the Heiliger Rav Ami takes out a Sefer Torah and he starts learning the Sedra. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Leimah. He doesn't say Vayidaber like we say Vayidaber, because he knows the secret of every single letter, all the Tzirufei Oisius, all the depths, and he says Va, and when he says Va, all the heavens begin to tremble, and millions of worlds are built up, and the angels Bashomayim are shuddering and shivering in Pacha. Then he says Yeh, he says the Oisius with all the secrets of Oisius, and the Da, and the Bear, and the whole world is lifted up into a world of Kedusha because Rav Ami is uttering words of Torah. And then when Rav Ami finishes that pasuk, he's not done yet. He starts over and he takes out the Targum Unkelus and he says, U'malil Hashem im Moshe l'meimor. Rav Ami, a Malach Elohim, is not finished his learning, his Tikkun HaOlamos, until he says the words that were written by who? Imagine the young boy Unkelus lying in his bed, what his room must have looked like. Imagine the posters that were on the wall. This gladiator, this who knows what. Rabbeinu Shalom, who would have dreamt that in this Roman boy who was raised in the world of Rome. There was pounding the heart of somebody whose words would be full of Kedusha, who he would learn and study until this very day. Who the Ameiroim and the Rishonim and the Achronim, the Aliyah Kodesh, the Groh, the Baal Shem Tov, the Samsoiv Reb Kiveiger, would enter every Shabbos studying the words of this person, who would have dreamt what's hiding inside. Who would have imagined that Mar Ukva in his sickbed, dying, a scandalous death, a bazillion, we can't imagine the shame. Who would have dreamt that inside that soul is the soul of an Amoira, of Reisha B'Reishach, the head of the head, whose every word is Torah's Chaim for all eternity. A person who the Vilna Gaon would have needed thousands of years to reach his ankles. That's the world of potential. That's the world of the Koyach. Now I always tell the Bochum and Yeshiva, when they complain, you know, if it's too strict, that the Chazanish once said, today the Yeshivas have one Mashgiach for every 100 Bochum. Really, they should have 100 Mashgichim for each Bochum. Okay, imagine, how would you like to have 100 Mashgichim on your head? The Gadol Hador, we have to watch what he does, and we have to plan his day, and we're going to make a meeting every week of all the Gadol Hador to sit down to measure this person's progress, how much he learned, how much he davened, how much he accomplished. Well, imagine the meeting wouldn't just be of the Gadol Hador of our time, that we decide that he's so great, you would have to bring the neshamas of all the Gadol Hador of the previous generation, and every week there'd be a meeting of the Nevi'im, of the Tanoim, of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, of the Rishonim and the Achronim, deciding what should be the program of this boy, how he's progressing, what's happening with him, watching. We could imagine what results he would have. He would bring out every last drop of his potential. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is greater than everyone who ever lived. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is watching, engaging us, and hoping, and waiting for us to achieve, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is our Father. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is measuring every moment of our progress. He gave us so much potential, so much energy, so much bekoyach. What are we doing with the billions that He gave us? Are we going to use it? Or are we going to say to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, keep the change? We would think for a moment. Every one of us would think for a moment. You know, there's not another human being in the world who looks or sounds like you. Noah. Why? There are 5 billion people in the world. Why does each one of us have to be different? But it's not enough. If you go back through all the years of history and all the people, billions of people who've lived before us, there's never been one exactly like you. With your physical makeup, with your spiritual makeup, with your mental ability, your intellect. No one has ever been the same. You ever think, why? What is this, a game? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Because He has a plan for each and every one of us. There is something in this world we have to accomplish that nobody else could accomplish. We, each and every one of us, is an earthquake. Is a world. We don't live with it. We don't understand what it means. But we would think, Lord, of course it's like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with potential for greatness. It may not be the type of greatness that other people will recognize, but it's a type of greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatness that shakes all of the world. If not, He didn't have to create us special. He didn't have to make each and every one of us unique. Then Hashem said to Avram Avinu, "Habet Noah Shomayim, look at the heavens, and look at the stars. So will your children be. There's a heilige word from the Chotki Rebbe. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael. He explained this pasuk in such a magnificent way. The Torah tells us the pasuk, Su'u morim einechem uru'u mi bora eila. Look heavenward, look at the heavenly bodies, and you will understand who created them. If somebody looks at the celestial sphere, you can go out of your mind from the vastness and the greatness of space. Boggles the imagination. And one who looks at the Kochavim becomes clear to him that there is a creator. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam said to Avram, look at the heavens. Do you see that when somebody looks at the stars, it becomes clear without a doubt that there is a creator? Vayomer Eloi Koi Yiazalacho. You will have such children. Whoever will look at them will know that there is a creator. They have the ability with their actions, with the way they live, to be a living proof of Kiddush Shem Shamayim, to announce the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every one of us is a potential walking Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Every one of us is designed. The Baal Shem Tov said, you know why we're compared to the Kochavim? Because you look at the Kochavim, they seem tiny. But if someone who's up there on top knows that they're huge, they're many, many millions of times greater than the whole world. Do you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu invests so much in us? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the world of the Koyach. We live in the world of the Poyel, so we don't understand what it's all about. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us from the vantage point of the stars. And He knows what's in us. He knows what we're capable of. He knows what heights we can rise to. He knows what we can achieve in Tikkun HaMidos, in Limud HaTorah, in Yiras Shamayim, in Ahavas Yisrael, in Ahavas HaTorah. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take His eyes off of us for a moment. Because He knows what's at risk. But we, who live in the tunnel vision world of the Poyel, we are deceived. Well, I had a very close friend whose grandfather was a great collector of Judaica, and his speciality were objects that belonged to great rebbes. He spent a lot of money amassing this collection, and he had one of his prized possessions was a pair of tefillin that had belonged to the Kotzke Rebbe. You know, the Zayda has a pair of tefillin to the Kotzke. My friend told me that when he was like about 10, 11 years old, he and his brother used to go into their grandfather's room, and they would dress themselves up, they would put on a talus, they would take turns putting on the Kotzke Rebbe's tefillin. Now, one day, their grandfather took them, there was a very great posik in Brooklyn, Rav Moshe Dick, who was a great tzaddik, and the grandfather took my friend and his brother to Rav Moshe Dick for a bracha before Rosh Hashanah. And he went and he brought him, he wanted to show him that he had something special. He brought the Kotzke Rebbe's tefillin. And he said, maybe the Rebbe would like to put them on. But he went, jumped, you want to kill me? What are you crazy? I should put on the Kotzke Rebbe's tefillin. And my friend was about to sink into the ground. He never realized what he was doing. Never knew he was praying. God, this is something that the greatest tzaddik would never pray, would never treat lightly. Never knew. He was unaware. Look, he doesn't want to touch it. And I'm praying around, putting it on here. If we're unaware, you know, we talk about reaching our potential. Before we reach our potential, we have to know we have potential. We have to be aware of it. We can't just be mezalzel in our Kodesh Baruch who created us. In one HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us. Because every day that we wake up in the morning and HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns our neshama to us, He's given us another vote of confidence. I'm restoring that life once again. Because I believe that there's so much more to you than you're giving. Don't be one who says, let me buy the ices and keep the change. We can be so much greater than what there is before our eyes. And especially in a time like this, when it's an ace tzorah hilayankim, when every heart and soul is focused on what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, and we're thinking, what could we do for our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael? Do we realize how much potential we have? Do we realize how one person can change the world? How one person with a true avoider, with lifting himself up, being makabel something, accepting something on himself, just to start working on a particular weakness, on a midah, if I have a difficulty with kimmel, or with kas, with anger, whatever it is, if I'm not utilizing time, I don't have a seder halimud, I'm not learning to set aside a part of my day for limud HaTorah, do we know what effect we have on the world? And I think it's nothing, nothing. We've changed the world, we've tipped the scales. Chazal repeat this idea over and over and over. And the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us one Yid could bring Mashiach, one Yid can change the world, but we don't really believe it. We take it lightly, we think it's chizik giving us pep talks. That's because we live in the world of Bepoel. The Chazal lived in the world of Bekoyach. They saw a different person. They looked at it, they saw something so different. They saw the Neshama towering above us. They saw the Neshama that Malachim and Tzlom Rafanim tremble from when they see our Neshama. They see the Neshama that was the purpose of creation. The vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had when He created the world, He looked at a Nishmas Yisrael. And certainly the Neshamas of Ikvas of the Mashiach, who the Imam Ipani writes, are the purpose for the entire world's creation. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts so much potential into us, that means He also gave us the ability to develop that potential. But the first step, it has to become clear to us and true to us at the innermost level of cognizance, at the deepest level of understanding, that this is the world of truth. We're being fooled, we're being tricked into imagining that we're much smaller than what you look at, like you look at the seed of an apple. It takes a little bit of thought to realize what's really hidden in there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the wisdom, should give us the strength, should give us the koiches hanefesh, the spiritual ability to overcome this Yetzer, which is particularly strong in the days before Mashiach. Reb Tzadok writes many times, the Yetzer before Bias HaMashiach will be the Yetzer that tells the person, you are nothing, you make no difference, you can't change the world. That, he says, will be more important to the Satan than the Yetzer of sin. So the Satan will cause us to sin not because he wants us to sin, but because he wants us to feel small. He wants us to feel inadequate. He wants us to forget the world of potential and to live in that small, tiny, narrow, false world of the poem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata Deshmaya. We should be able to serve Him properly, to give Him nachas. We should be able to be ma'oder, the midah of rachman d'chsedim, of heavenly mercy, that Klal Yisrael so desperately needs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see our rotzon, our true will to improve ourselves. And He should take this rotzon and connect it to all the rotzonos of all of Yidden, and all of the tefillos of all of Klal Yisrael, and bring a Yeshua to Klal Yisrael, bring a Nechama to Klal Yisrael, bring a Makola to the Rishon, and a chizik v'atzadikim, and we should be zeicha b'meheira to the gilui of Melech HaMashiach and bias Mashiach to kainu b'meheira b'yameinu amein.
If you'd like to get more of Rabbi Waxman's tapes or CDs, please visit us online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. Rabbi Waxman has over 75 CDs available. You could contact English Torah Tapes at 323-414-1641, and you could purchase any of Rabbi Waxman's CDs. We hope you enjoyed this year, and we thank you, and we invite you to visit us online for more great Torah lectures. We have over 1,500 Torah lectures that you can download or listen to, and there's no charge for it. You can listen to Rav Matzio Solomon, Rabbi